providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And in this segment, after those first few with Peter Bukvar, we're featuring a replay from late in the week when Shad chatted with John Fenech, portfolio manager and owner of Fenech Consulting. They go through a number of resource stocks, mostly juniors, that you should have your eyes on. I hope you all enjoy this interview. The full interview was also posted on Friday on our site.
Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm joined with portfolio manager John Fenech of Fenech Consulting. John, I want to kick things off today with the news out of Jackson Hole, where Jerome Powell has moved the goalpost once again on tapering. A lot of the Fed governors and other Fed mouthpieces wanted to see the tapering start immediately. They wanted to see it start in September. It looks like now that's going to be pushed back to November and December at the earliest. So that news has sent gold up sharply. It's sent the markets up. It's generally been a, not a surprise, but an admission that maybe the growth wasn't quite so rosy and maybe the economy wasn't quite as strong as many believe. So what do you make of this news today out of Jackson Hole from Jerome Powell?
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Chad. It's affecting markets in a positive way because, you know, many were expecting Powell to talk about tapering here today in a way to set up the September 22 Fed meeting, right? And that was also articulated, as you said, from Fed, you know, governors like Bullard from St. Louis, Kaplan from Dallas, like all these guys in the last couple of days have been talking about the need to do this in September. What's interesting is that the average client doesn't take the time to go to the Fed website and realize that Kaplan and Bullard don't even vote this year. So who cares? You know, it's like the guy who matters is Powell. And so I've been telling my clients, focus on this only, this speech at 10 Eastern, because what he says matters, right? So I got out of it that we're looking at November now, not September, which gives, you know, mining and metals investors a huge runway here. I mean, don't forget that three of the biggest conferences in our sector, Shad, are coming up. So September 8th through the 11th is Precious Metal Summit in Beaver Creek, Colorado. You've got Denver Gold, September 12th through the 14th in Denver. And then you've got Brian London's conference in New Orleans around October 19th. So a lot of money is going to be, you know, thrown around. And I use the guarantee word never, and I'll use it right now. I guarantee you CEOs are going to be at these conferences talking up their real results, and it's going to get some action here in September. So to answer your question, we've been buying in advance of this. You know, we've taken a position that is not popular, I guess, when I look at my peer group, you know, and the newsletter writers who have been talking about, you know, gold being a magnet to 1560 or 1677. I mean, that gap that we saw down to 1676 or so on that Monday was completely bought here and then some. So like, to me, that was what I was telling clients, follow gold because it's going to matter. And then the miners will follow.
That was a great call, John, and it absolutely mattered today. We've seen a nice bounce in gold. It looks like we're going to put in a nice weekly close, which is a good thing, a nice daily green candle. But it's also significantly above that 1750, 1760 level. People were concerned about that. Was resistance, now it's support.
Right.
And we're well on the way in the 1800s here. Another takeaway from this Fed talk today with Powell that you had mentioned to me off mic, I'd love to get your thoughts on it a little bit further, is how the reopening trade may have gotten a little bit ahead of itself with some of the different hospitality sectors. So speak to me a little bit about that. You had some great comments off mic.
So I have cruised over 25 times. I've been fortunate enough to stay in over 2,000 unique hotels over my career. I've traveled a ton, and I can tell you that, like, think about it, right? If you're an executive like me and you need connectivity to trade, are you going to lock yourself on a cruise ship right now? Are you kidding me? Like, you know, look what happened in Asia where you're stuck for weeks, like at port even. You can't get off the ship because some people have COVID. It's like, no, I'm not going to put myself in that position. There's no way I'm doing that for months probably, right? But that's from doing it 25 times and enjoying it, right? Like, so what does the average person think, right? I mean, I think cruise ship stocks are very vulnerable. It's not something we've shorted yet, but we're definitely tracking. Another area is hotels. And I've stayed in over 2,000 hotels, as I just mentioned. And these are, you know, the Marriotts and the Hyatts of the world, very good brands. But when you ask the manager at the desk, what's your capacity tonight? And they're like 20% or 40%. I mean, how is that in line with Powell's comment today, which was, you know, quote, hotels and airlines are back to pre-pandemic levels. Are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding? Seriously, like, there's no way that capacity is back to these levels. If you ask the average hotel manager, they have cut, you know, housekeeping by 25 to 50%. Their restaurants are closed, their bars are closed, their gyms are closed, their lounges are closed, yet the prices are the same. So at some point, the average client says, I'm not doing this anymore, right? Like, this is ridiculous. How are you pricing me out of the market, Mr. Hotel Manager? You know, it's like not fair to the average consumer, and we're looking to short some hotels as well.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that just a few months back, if we dial it back, everybody was thrilled about the reopening trade. We are back to normal. And now with all the Delta variant concerns and certain cities and certain areas starting to lock down and rental cars, hotels and airlines and cruises having gotten way ahead of themselves on what they were pricing people, I think they're finding out that the future wasn't as rosy as they were hoping for. And the Fed acknowledged that today by moving the timeline back and kicking the can down the road a little bit. So it's boosted the gold price. It's definitely helped the miners today. But still, overall, John, over the last year, a lot of the miners are down substantially, 30, 40, 60%. So there's some great opportunities out there. I know you follow the sector like a hawk, and you're always watching for good risk-reward opportunities. What are you seeing out there when you look at the mining stocks, and then what are you doing in your portfolio?
Sure. So I'll go through a couple different metals here. First, let's choose gold. Gold would be U.S. gold. USAU is our top gold holding right now. You just had Ed Carr on your show not too long ago, right? So Ed had some comments about the Copper King opportunity. I actually toured that in June in Wyoming with Ed. I was very impressed. I came back to my clients around 10 bucks and said, this thing is going much higher. It has dropped all the way down to, I think, 915 here this week, where we were buying the low there. We bought again today at the 934 level, and the stock is currently at 943. So we think that stock has tremendous upside at 943. We think, you know, to define tremendous in the near term, I would say within 30 days, this could be up 20%. I mean, like, that's how bullish we are on the stock, because there is no float. There's 7 million shares out. I can account for 4 million of those shares, and most of those guys aren't selling. So what do you have, a 3 million share public float? Show me another gold stock with a 3 million share public float. I don't even know of anything close to that, right? So this stock has tremendous torque, and it trades on the NASDAQ, so we like the liquidity. Another name would be Fury. I had lunch with Ivan Bebek, the chair, here about 10 days ago. And Ivan is very bullish. Despite the move down in shares here, he did what he had to do with removing the CEO and bringing a new one in. He put out a note to shareholders about a week ago that I thought was very well written. And when you look at the stock here today, we were big buyers at 73.5 because there looked to be a huge short covering just around 73-ish. I mean, biggest volume I've seen on the stock in terms of short covering in a while. And I think that that is going to bode well here. It's trading at 74 as we speak. And, you know, my target is easily over a dollar in the next couple of months because they have news coming like so many other mining companies. Another name in gold and silver would be Fabled, F-B-S-G-F. Fabled has a catalyst in the near term as well, in that they are working with the Toronto Exchange right now to talk about a spinoff of their copper assets. So for every 5 shares you buy of FBSGF, you're going to get 1 share of Fabled Copper here, most likely, if the spinoff is approved, which we think it will be. So does the CEO, Peter. So, you know, I think that's tremendous value, right? At 11.4 cents, it's like you're going to get 2 for 1 pretty much if you buy enough of the gold and silver play, which, by the way, came out with amazing drill results here on a property that I'm very familiar with called Santa Maria just about a week ago. So, you know, they continue to expand that resource. And I know Peter is very excited about the results. Shifting to silver, I would say Aftermath Silver looks to be completely bombed out here. AAGFF is the ticker. They will have news most likely in the next 30 days as well. You know, we've talked about this offline, Shad, but, you know, the exploration companies are more exciting to some than a development company. But at 33 cents, I mean, everyone loved the stock at $1.30 plus, and now it's at 33 cents, guys. I mean, why not put a bid out there, right? It's like this stock is not going out of business. They are a tremendous producer. They're going to be a tremendous producer or get bought by someone within the next few years, and you know, in markets that are, you know, a little bit less favored right now, Chile and Peru. But who cares at 33 cents is my thought. You know, it's like Michael and Ralph know what they're doing. They're cashed up enough at this point, and they're economic at $17 silver, both projects, right? So like, unlike so many that have hit higher AISCs to be profitable, this is going to be profitable at very low silver prices. Another that is our favorite silver pick is AUMN. I've publicly gone after people like Taylor Dart and just questioned his methodology on Seeking Alpha because he has not talked to the CEO ever. So Warren Rain has basically told me, like, yeah, I don't know who this person is. I've reached out to him on email and I've reached out to him on phone, and we'd love to have a conversation, and he just hasn't replied to date. So he was saying at 44 cents, the stock looked, you know, like it was there was better value out there. Well, hey, it's gone from $1.30 to 44 cents. Show me some better value in silver, you know, outside of like Aftermath and AUMN, and I'm all ears. You know, there's probably some names out there that I'm missing, but you know, this is another stock that trades very well. It trades on the NYSE Lights. And Warren has a plan in place, right? Like when you look at the stock, Shad, back in 2015, the stock exploded higher based on Velardania going back into production. Guess what's happening in October of this year? They're going to decide if Velardania goes back into production or not. And if they say yes, I'm not expecting like an explosion, but I'm expecting a lot of people to cover their short interest, which, by the way, has probably doubled over the last month. So, you know, I think the stock looks very, very good here at 47 cents. Shifting to industrial metals, just another minute here. I guess palladium is something that I've wrote on for Sprott and have a lot of passion for. Canadian palladium is my favorite pick right now, which is DCNNF. DCNNF is run by a guy named Wayne Tisdale. Wayne was the person responsible for Rainy River over at New Gold, which is their largest mine currently. So on an 8-cent palladium stock, I'm seeing tremendously good results coming out of their project in Canada. They've got other assets as well. And, you know, the stock was at 15 cents here this summer. It's pretty much been halved. So, you know, we're buying a lot of that at 8 cents. Another palladium name that I think has news coming is Group 10. And they've telegraphed this publicly. That ticker is PGEZF. I like Mike Rowley a lot as the CEO. Their rocks are literally adjacent to Sibanye's in Montana. Sibanye is SBSW. If you want to, you know, if your listeners want to check that out, they have a real mine called Stillwater. I've been invested in that mine for many years, got bought by Sibanye, and guess who's right next door, Group 10. So when they come out with their report here over the next few weeks, I think it'll open some eyes.
That's a great list of companies, John. And just in full disclosure, I am also a shareholder of U.S. Gold Corp. And we did just have Ed on the show. I'm a shareholder of Fury Gold, and we have Ivan on regularly. I'm not a shareholder of Fabled Silver, but I am of Golden Minerals, AUMN, that you mentioned. And they have a net smelter agreement on that Santa Maria project.
Right.
And then I'm also a shareholder of Group 10. So so we have a lot of common ground there. And we have Mike on the show fairly regularly as well. So that's a great list of companies. And all the companies you mentioned are worth investors checking out. Just real quick as we wrap up, John, maybe spend 60 seconds and talk to us about how Finnick Consulting works and how investors could get value if they wanted to contact you.
Sure. So we work with investors of all sizes. I don't draw the line in the sand at $1 million like some money managers do. We don't, you know, work directly with them in the sense that we're not managing their money, but we're providing daily alerts. And by that, I mean 5 to 6 emails a day of real-time alerts. Like, I just bought Fury at 73 cents. I saw a big short covering. This is possibly the low. So I'll say those kind of things right alongside my trade for someone, you know, within 5 minutes, right? So like, it's very valuable information, I think, because it's not like a newsletter writer where it's weekly, right? I mean, a week in this market is an eternity, in my opinion. We do have a newsletter, by the way, that we just started, because I want to try to reach some of those lower asset-based clients, Chad, where, you know, a lot of people with 100K, 200K, 50K, 10K, they don't have maybe the money to buy into the alert system. So we start them on the newsletter, and then we'll graduate them down the road into the alert system when markets recover. But yeah, that's what we do. We try to do portfolio reviews for people. You know, we're not a licensed RIA or an advisor, but we basically have a lot of knowledge in the space. So, you know, just as an example, an $11 million client came to me with a Troilus recently at a buck this summer, right? And I said, you know, I think they're going to do a financing and I think you should sell it. And it's trading at 65 cents yesterday now. So like, we can provide, I think, a lot of advice and help to clients because we're talking to CEOs all day long. So I talked to, you know, 18 CEOs this week. I'm constantly on the phone with people trying to get, you know, some type of edge, and I think that's valuable.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us here at the KE Report. And if anybody's interested in reaching out to John, you can email him. What's your email address, John?
Yeah, sure. It's J-O-H-N and then a dot and then my last name, Fennec, F-E-N-E-C-K at yahoo.com.
Okay, great. And if anybody has any questions for us or wants to reach out to us to get in touch with John, you can email Corey at Fleck at KEReport.com or myself at Shad at KEReport.com. John, always a pleasure having you on, and good luck out there in the markets.
Thanks, Shad. Take care.